It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We meet a cross-country cyclist in Hudson who shares their journey of biking across America and completing a nearly 50-year-old dream adventure. Now let's turn to the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm here with Susanna Michaels. Hello, Susanna.
Hi, Kate. So glad to be here with you.
Yes, and listeners, and that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, yesterday we kicked off this exciting opportunity, and there's still time. We're about halfway to our goal, not quite, so we have a lot of work to do today. When 500 people make a donation, $15,000 extra will be secured for WPR programs from a group of generous listeners.
Yes, it is their way of encouraging you to join them to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So let's meet this $15,000 challenge. Your gift of any amount helps before 6 o'clock today. So let's make a difference now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make that donation to WPR, you will be joining more than 50,000 other members. Pulled together, your support makes up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
And don't forget, your support is meaningful, it's powerful. You make possible all the WPR programs that you enjoy and that so many other people do as well. So make your gift now. You choose the amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And whether you tune in for one favorite program every day or you find yourself checking in on WPR throughout the day or week, you are a regular listener and you value WPR. These drives are such an important time to hear from new members. If you've never given before, start off with a gift of $10 or $20 a month. You make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And I know you are going to love being a WPR member.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels, and it's your support during this fall member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible each day. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And that gift of any amount you choose does count to our 500-member challenge that we're working on. And it is easy to make that gift. We are not asking you to invest hours of your busy day. All we need is a couple minutes, your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
It's really straightforward to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes you do in doing that, you fund your daily listening. Your support now, it really makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember that you can really have a big impact when you give right now. $15,000 will be released when 500 people step up, including you, to make a gift in support of WPR programs. So join in this exciting day right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And why not ask for the new WPR baseball cap when you give $15 a month or more? It has this retro embroidered radio and WPR branding on the front, and this hat will let the world know that you value and that you support WPR programs. It's yours when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
And Kate, we heard from Lindsay in Stevens Point, who says, I love listening to Kate in the morning and then Larry later on. Thanks for all you do.
That's so great, yeah. Lindsay. Thank you.
Thank you. And there's just program after program that is so worthwhile, worth listening to. And it's your support that makes all these programs possible. So thank you, Lindsay, and join with her with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We find inspiration now in cross-country bike rider Randy Hone. So over the summer, Hone cycled 4,233 miles in 66 days, completing the Transamerica Bicycle Trail. This is a bucket list dream come true. You can be part of this discussion about bike rides. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Randy, congratulations and welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, good morning to you, Kate, and good morning, America.
Oh, Randy, what on earth got into you? What inspired you to take this bike ride across America?
Well, when I was 18 years old, I had a ride set up, which was only about 400 miles with four other guys. And so when it came right down to the last day, they all backed out because they had to go to work or they had to do this or do that. You know how it goes. And so from that point on, I thought, well, you know, I'll have to put it on the back burners. And eventually I got married, had kids, had gotten a good job. And then I was into the corporate world. And so everything got pushed aside. And so I decided one day here, back in April, actually it was May or April. Yes. I retired from Anderson Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And, then I decided, you know, I better do it now. I'm 67 years old, and I figured, you know, how many more years do I have left to do this great accomplishment? So I gave them my notice that I was going to retire, and May 3rd, I jumped on the plane, May 2nd, I jumped on the plane, got and took off May 3rd, and then I ended up in Yorktown July 8th.
Wow. You really didn't take any downtime after sending in your notice. I mean,
no, I didn't. I just decided I'm going to get her done, you know, because it's been my dream ever since I've been 18 years old. So
how did your body feel after riding for 66 days?
Actually, I'm in pretty good shape. I've done quite a bit of riding. I moved up here from South Dakota, Mitchell, South Dakota. Before moving up here, I had put 10,000 miles on that summer and part of the spring. And so I do a lot of cycling, and so that's one of my passions. So,
where is your favorite place to bicycle?
Oh, I loved everything out west. You know, Oregon. Idaho is a beautiful state. Montana is a beautiful state. Wyoming, I like that. Colorado, especially. I like Colorado a lot.
I think you're going to name every state.
Yeah. But they were all great. In Virginia, I ended up in Virginia, and Virginia is a very beautiful state also.
So talk about the planning phase here. You know, what did you have to put together in order to go over 4,000 miles?
I'm actually part of a group out of Montana. It's called Adventure Cycling. And so they have maps. And on those maps, it'll tell you exactly where all your restaurants are at, where all your lodging is. There's bike hostels in certain towns. There's warm showers in certain towns. So I would plan each day ahead and call these people to get reservations or what have you, or, you know, to make sure I was able to stay at those certain places.
We're talking about cross-country bike riding with Hudson resident Randy Hone. Recently rode more than 4,000 miles across 10 states on the Transamerica Bicycle Trail. You can join in with your questions and your thoughts along the way at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So tell us about day one. How did that go for you?
Day one was, well, I actually what happened day one was I got into Astoria late that night and got up the next morning ready to go. And I thought, well, you know what? I didn't even take a look at the town I'm starting from. So I took some time out and I looked around till around noonish, and then I took off. And so on that first day, I took off, was around noonish, like I was saying, and I got 3 flat tires right away, which made me think, oh, am I really getting into something I really want to do, you know? So, but after that, everything was fine until I got to another town, and I went into a bicycle shop, and they fixed me up with some a different kind of a tire you put inside as a liner type thing. And I had no flats the rest of the trip.
Oh, good thing. What, you know, did you have a special bike you were on or just the one you usually? Yeah. What was your bike like?
Yeah, I set up a bike probably 5 years ago with my bicycle shop here in town, Art Doyle's pedaling bicycles. And I have them set me up. So I've been kind of gradually buying things that I, you know, for this special bike, because I've got 7 bikes and everyone's got a different purpose. But they set this bike up for me. It had panniers put on it. And that my front wheel has a generator on it, so it generates power so I can power my phone and stuff, because I had maps that I gotten from Adventure Cycling, GPS maps, and you just download them into your phone in case there was a lot of places out west that I did not have service. So I had to make sure I had my phone so I could read the map and not get lost.
Yeah, you took about a dozen maps with you. Were these all different maps?
Yep, they're all different maps, all individual. And it's a great program. You know, they got them for, there's all kinds of maps they have. You can do the northern tier, you can do the Transamerica, which I did. Then you can do the southern tier. And then they got the great passage where you come from Alaska and go down to Mexico. And they got quite of a program going. So. And it made it really handy for me because, you know, if I didn't know what was going on in the next town, they had it all right in front of me. You know, I could look it up on my maps.
Well, Randy, what did you learn about yourself spending, you know, hours on the road in solitude?
You know, I thought about a lot when I was on the road. 4 years ago, I had suffered a blood clot in my leg. And then just 2 years ago, I had a tumor removed out of my stomach. I had a third of my stomach removed, and they had to rebuild my stomach so that it would attach to my intestines, because that was the area in which the tumor was. So they had to rebuild my stomach.
Wow.
So I was in the hospital for nearly a month before my stomach woke up and I was able to eat and drink and do my thing. But after my surgery, my first thing to my surgeon was, am I ever going to get to do this bicycle trip across America? It's one of my dreams and my bucket list thing. And he says, I see no reason why not. So here I am. And, yeah, you know, we live in a beautiful world, and I don't think a lot of people know that. Along the way, I met a lot of beautiful people. They're very willing. They give me food, give me water. There was a lady in Kentucky that chased me down in her car. She was sitting on her porch, and she saw me go by, and it was 100-degree day that way day. And I thought, it was only halfway through the day, and, lady come up and told me to get over. And I went over, and she says, I seen you going down the road. You need a place to stay for the night? And I said, no, I'm kind of early yet. I can't really stop yet, but she wanted me to stay overnight. She said that I could take a shower and she would do my laundry for me and make me supper and what have you. And I said, boy, you're just such a sweet lady. But I had to pass her up because it was pretty early in the day yet. And I think I only had like 35 miles on. And, so yeah, it was it was something I really wanted to do. It was in my heart. I've always wanted to do it, and I thought I got to get her done, so I did it.
How were the drivers on the road as you tried to navigate all those different types of roads, two-lane highways, rural roads?
Drivers are extremely good. There was a few here and there, you know, that think that, you know, bicycles don't need to be on the roads, you know, it's just for cars. But as I look at it, I pay taxes all my life, and I'm just entitled to those roads as they are. So, yeah, they were all pretty good to me, though. I like I said, I probably only had a couple people that were irritated with it, you know. But I could see where a lot of times I've seen a lot of riders where they're riding two across from each other, three, you know, and they're taking up the whole road, whereas I was riding on the other side of the white line. So it was something I didn't take advantage of the drivers. So.
What's on tap for you next? What's the next adventure on your bucket list? We're all curious.
Right now I'm looking at another bike. It's called Priority 600. It's a bike that's been designed by two German engineers for Porsche, and it's kind of an automatic drive system on your bike, but you still got to shift it in the gear, and it's not like a normal bicycle. It has a belt drive on it, and it's called the pinion gear anyway. So I'm looking into that, and so that bicycle I hope will take me across. I'm going to do the northern tier this next year, and that's like from Washington to Maine.
Oh wow! Oh, that'll be beautiful. Yeah. Well, Randy, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's inspirational. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, certainly. I hope I inspire some people to do it, because they really don't know what they're missing. When you're out there and you're riding in a car, you know, you can't see everything. On a bicycle, you're not going as fast, and you can see a lot more and enjoy the beautiful world we're living in.
Randy Hone is a cross-country bike rider in Hudson, completed the route to Cross America by bicycle, the Transamerica Bicycle Trail. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the Fall Member Drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Susanna Michaels. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, and that is thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, you make The Morning Show possible and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And be one of 500 people to help secure an additional $15,000 for WPR. We are a little less than halfway to that goal, and I think with a big push today, we can make it. And here's how it works. A group of generous members has created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
And your participation now is vital as we tick talk down to 6 p.m. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this $15,000 challenge. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, I enjoyed this last segment about a man who retired and took off biking 4,000 miles. He said, I hope I've inspired people. And yes, he inspired me that as I get older, I can still do amazing things. Mm. I definitely want to follow in his footsteps, so to speak. And I appreciate that you cover so much ground on The Morning Show, pun intended. these are the kinds of conversations that we can all count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the wealth of topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And you have probably heard about our monthly giving program because we've talked about it so much. In fact, more than half of WPR members are now sustainers, and it is easy to become a sustainer. All you have to do is set up an automatic monthly gift from your bank account or credit card. So start your ongoing monthly gift right now. It's a great way to give both for you and for WPR, and it'll help us meet this challenge we're working on. And it all happens when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR baseball cap. This stylish light green hat isn't just another fashion accessory. It's a statement of your commitment to independent journalism and enriching entertainment.
Where wouldn't I wear my WPR baseball cap? Backwards, sideways, frontways, all the ways.
In the garden to keep the sun off of my face.
Going out for a nice walk, trying to enjoy some of the great natural resources we have here in the state, while also showing support for one of the great information resources we have in Wisconsin.
It's fashionable, it's functional, it's groovy. It's sexy, it's outrageous.
I think a WPR baseball cap would be good any place where the sun is shining.
I go to a lot of Brewers and Madison Mallards baseball games. It would fit right in with the rest of the crowd.
Or really, just about anywhere.
Wherever you go, wear your new hat with pride, knowing you make the essential public service we all rely on possible. Give $15 a month and ask for yours now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is the Fall Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. And listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you love. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it has an important impact.
And if you have already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. You are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given quite yet, join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we heard from Sarah in Monticello who says, "You keep me informed and entertained on my drive to and from work every day. Thank you, WPR." And thank you, Sarah. I think listening to WPR in the car is such a great way to spend your time. Such a great thing to
indeed.
Do with your morning commute.
Make your contribution now, WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The number of people who hunt ducks and geese is in decline. We learn how this affects Wisconsin's waterfowl heritage and conservation practices. Now we turn our attention to the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm here with Susanna Michaels. You count on WPR for these interesting discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And it's extra important right now because that you make a gift before 6 o'clock tonight, because if you are one of 500 people to give before that time, we will secure an additional $15,000 for WPR programs. A group of generous members has created this challenge to inspire your support of the morning show and all the programs you enjoy and that really the entire community counts on.
And your participation now is super important. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this $15,000 challenge. So give now. Any amount makes a difference. Count yourself in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in a single month, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. There's so much to learn, so many interesting people to meet, and topics to discover. And when you support WPR with a donation, you make all of that conversation possible. So take that simple and powerful step right now when you make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
And sometimes you do actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that's case in point. It's true every day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
You cannot buy much for $2 a day, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day actually makes a lot of news and discussions possible. So it works out to $60 a month, and you can set that gift up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I decided to become a sustainer because instead of writing that one check every year, I thought, I don't want to have to worry, did I remember to do it? How much did I give before? Just set it up and let it flow and know that it's happening. I feel much better knowing that without my being able to screw up, WPR is getting that support regularly.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
And here is how. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is the Fall Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you depend on each day. And it's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it has an important impact.
And after you've made that donation to WPR, you can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and family.
Indeed you can. And whether you use social media, you call them up on the phone, or you mention it when you see them at that next family dinner, let them know that you support the news and the talk on WPR. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then inspire the other WPR fans in your life to do the same.
And make your gift today, because we have this challenge going on. When 500 people donate before 6 o'clock tonight, WPR will get an extra $15,000. So it's a great time to make your gift. You know you want to do it anyway. Join in now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And turn your attention to the new WPR baseball cap. When you give $15 a month or more, this has an embroidered radio on the front. You've got the WPR branding, and the hat will let the world know you value and support WPR programs. It's yours when you give $15 a month. You're also in on that challenge as well at the same time. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you are not a sustainer, become one right now. Sustainers are so important to the financial stability of WPR. It is easy and convenient to set up a monthly ongoing donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Heard from Jennifer in Woodruff, who says, I enjoy the news, the variety of shows, and it keeps my critters company when I'm at work. Jennifer, thank you so much for your support. Join in now at WPR.org, and thank you so much for your generosity. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to tens of thousands of duck and goose hunters, but nationally, the number of bird hunters donning their vests and the blaze orange and heading to migratory flyways, that is in decline. You can be part of this discussion about migratory bird hunting. Call in with a question, share comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Talk is right here at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Todd Schaller is vice president of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, former chief warden for the State Department of Natural Resources. Todd, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, let's look at these numbers. The Fish and Wildlife Service says there were fewer than 914,000 waterfowl hunters in North America last year. That's the lowest number since the early 60s. What factors are contributing to declining waterfowl hunters?
I think it's, you know, you got to look at a lot of pieces to that puzzle. Obviously, there's a decline. And I think two things. One is, I think we need to be very cautious about just looking at single years, and we need to look at trends. That being said, we are experiencing a downward trend in waterfowl hunters across the country. Thankfully, in Wisconsin, that declining trend or downslope is less in Wisconsin than it is in on a national scale or even in other states.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think Wisconsin has a long, long history and tradition of hunting. A relatively rural state, hunting is a big part of our culture, always has been. So I think that's why we've been able to slow that trend a little bit, why our trend looks a little different in Wisconsin.
You know, are you surprised by this decline? I mean, you've seen this trend now. It's been happening a bit for decades. Is this a surprise to you at all?
No, I don't think it's a surprise. As you said, I think people have been watching this for a lot of time, a long time, and been doing research to try to figure out really, you know, as you started the conversation, why is this happening? And I think there's several factors. Probably the biggest one is we're aging out of hunters, and the baby boomers are getting to a point in age in life where they maybe health-wise or just interest-wise are no longer participating in hunting. And on the bottom end of that, we are not recruiting and engaging new hunters or young hunters at that same rate of drop-off on the top side. So, you know, that's the math equation that's going on. I think access is always a part of the conversation about decline. You know, is it harder to find locations to hunt? Oftentimes we talk about, you know, technology and the pace and busyness of life, you know, today compared to 15, 20 years ago. It certainly feels different to me, and the impact that has. And then there's also the urbanization. You know, the populations are growing in urban areas, lessening in rural areas. Farms, family farms, the dynamics there are changing. Land ownerships are changing. So a lot of reasons and potential reasons why we're seeing a decline.
And you run the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association's program for recruiting and retaining hunters. What are you doing to address these issues and to raise hunter numbers?
I think, you know, there's a lot of groups like Wisconsin Waterfowl Association are trying to recruit, reactivate, and reengage hunters at varying levels. And, you know, we have programs that are offered for a new or a novice waterfowl hunter to participate in a training day and then follow it up with an actual mentored hunt. We just started a program. It'll be our first year this fall where we're doing that. Basically, we're calling it our Waterfowlers Academy. It's for women by women. One thing we know is the fastest growing population in interest in hunting is women, female. And our thought is oftentimes a new or novice hunter, female, may feel intimidated, you know, participating with men. So we're going to try an event that is all female mentors, all female participants, to see if that's a way to, you know, attract the female hunters. So a lot of programs out there. The challenge is, at what scale are you able to do it? As an organization, we can hold events and introduce maybe 20, 25, 30 new hunters on an annual basis. But that's, you know, that's a pretty small scale. So I think the conversations about how do you increase that scale? And instead of 20 and 30, how do you get to be 100 or 150? And I think the way to do that is individuals, hunters themselves, need to
be the mentors,
put it upon themselves.
And bring friends and family out as they go out to walk in their footsteps and be part of it. Todd Schaller with us, leader in the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, as we look at the effects of declining waterfowl hunters on conservation efforts and sporting heritage. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Todd, you previously served as chief conservation warden for the DNR. What is the significance of hunters for conservation efforts?
You know, hunters, since Aldo Leopold, hunters are conservationists. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of people who are involved in conservation, but hunters as a group are true conservationists. They're willing to put their money, license fees to it. They join conservation clubs to donate their time and get their fingernails dirty in the name of conservation. So when you see a decline in a group like hunters who are conservationists, you know, now you start to have a concern about what's the impacts of that. So there's a saying with conservation, if you understand it or know about it, you can care. And if you care about it, you can help. And I think that's kind of fits what hunters are in the world of conservation. They have a long history of helping to reintroduce species, improve habitat, fight for habitat protection. So,
when you talk about fighting for habitat protection, the DNR says nearly half of Wisconsin's 10 million acres of wetlands have been destroyed since the 1800s. How are waterfowl hunters different from other hunters, such as people who hunt deer or elk or bear or wolf?
You know, I think one thing to think about is, and you touched on it, the decline of wetlands. And, you know, wetlands, as hunters, conservationists, we want to maintain and promote and develop wetland for hunting purposes, potentially, you know, habitat for game and things that we pursue. But wetlands have such an impact well and beyond hunting, water quality, flood control. Hunting is just a small piece of, and habitat is just a small piece of the benefits of wetlands. So waterfowl hunters are committed to wetlands, and that has a bigger impact well beyond the hunting community.
Our waterfowl hunting season is well underway in most areas of the state. What are your expectations for this season?
You know, I think we all go into a hunting season with high hopes and optimism. And I think the numbers, you know, if you look at the federal numbers, population surveys, wetland conditions and things like that, and over the last year or two, I think we're probably at an average or above average season, potentially. Wisconsin, obviously, southern Wisconsin, we're dealing with some very dry drought conditions, and that'll probably have an impact on where people can get out and where people can hunt. But I'm optimistic, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure I'm, you know, joined by, you know, almost 100,000 other duck hunters in Wisconsin.
What makes you a lifelong waterfowl hunter?
I don't know. I was exposed to it as a young kid, and it just has always intrigued me. I like the wetland environment. I like being on a wetland and compound or a complex and watching the sunrise. It's just something. It sounds silly, but it seems to be in my DNA.
So. It seems to be in your DNA. Do you have a hunting dog?
I do. I've had a hunting dog for 30 plus years. And that's really a big part of also why I enjoy hunting, is the dog aspect of it. So.
What's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Fetty. He is a small Munsterlander, which is a upland and waterfowl breed. So,
does he know when you're about to go out duck hunting? Does he have a sense?
Absolutely. He has a sense. Oftentimes he's sitting, you know, by the truck, just waiting for the kennel to open so he can go with. So they're smart animals.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Todd, I really appreciate you for joining us. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Todd Schaller is vice president of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, as we've been talking about how to boost the numbers of migratory bird hunters and what is the cause of the decline. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show, and it is the Fall Member Drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Susanna Michaels, and we're here today to raise the funds that pay for the programs that you enjoy, programs like this one, and support from people like you. It is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And it is such a great time to give, because when we hear from 500 people by 6 o'clock tonight, WPR will get an extra $15,000. I got to say, these challenges always make me a little nervous. I'm going to start biting my fingernails. We are zeroing in on about halfway to that match. And a generous group of members has created this challenge to inspire your support of WPR programs. And so, yeah, let's honor their commitment to WPR.
And your participation now is vital. Get in on this. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. So give now. Any amount makes a difference. Jump in here at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in the last segment of the morning show, we learned about the decrease in waterfowl hunters nationwide and here in Wisconsin. I appreciated the guest's mention specifically of women hunters and his understanding of why the trend is what it is, generational, environmental, lifestyle. We are a state with a deep hunting tradition, so it makes good sense that we have these kinds of conversations right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And you can ask for the new WPR baseball cap when you make your gift. It's a light green hat. It's great for fall or really any time, and it'll show off your commitment to essential news and quality entertainment and great discussions. Ask for your WPR baseball cap when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. The WPR programs you enjoy, they're possible thanks to your support. And your contribution of, say, $10 a month, $15 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it makes a difference for our entire community.
And whatever amount you give, it will count towards our challenge that's underway. We are looking for 1,500 people to donate before 6 o'clock tonight, and that will help secure an additional $15,000 for WPR programs. A group of generous members is encouraging you to join them in supporting WPR.
And your participation now is vital. You bring WPR a step closer to meeting this $15,000 challenge. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you. We've already had that this morning. Programs that entertain and engage you any time of the day or night.
And what makes it all possible? It's you. You do. People who contribute make WPR happen.
Your gift of $100 or better yet, $10 a month, whatever you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's where we're at. Be one of 500 people to help secure an additional $15,000 for WPR. We're looking for 275 more people to go to meet this challenge by 6 p.m. And a group of generous members, they've created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on. Your gift of any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.